Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Jors. We're talking some Packers football. We're taking a look back at the Super Bowl. Recapping a week's worth of events. I was on location in New Orleans last week. Had an absolutely fabulous time. Great time. Hope to talk about some of those times here on today's show as we kind of wrap up for good the 2012 NFL season. It was the season's finally over. All the events that really, that Packers related or not, it's now done with the Super Bowl being over. The Baltimore Ravens are your NFL champions. Good game last night, wasn't it? You know, for a while you were thinking there in the first half the Ravens would blow this one out as they get up, 28-6 at halftime. And then the 49ers come back, of course, after the infamous now a blackout power surge that happened at the Superdome last night. But the 49ers come back, make it a game, and it'll go down as one of the better games in history. Maybe not the best, but still a good game, an entertaining game. I think it was great that the 49ers made it competitive there toward the end. Really gave it their all in the second half. And good Super Bowl, entertaining Super Bowl. Joe Flacco is your Super Bowl MVP, and how big is Joe Flacco right now? All of a sudden, he made a name for himself yesterday, not just yesterday, the entire NFL postseason, the playoffs. What a fantastic run for Joe Flacco, and congratulations to him on not only the Super Bowl MVP, but really placing himself among the conversation among the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Now, I would say Joe Flacco is still behind guys like Aaron Rodgers, of course, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, but he's right on the precipice of that next guy. You know, that if you're ranking the best quarterbacks, he might be number four, number five now after what transpired these past, few weeks here in the NFL playoffs. So I think if I read this right, Joe Flacco, throughout the course of the playoffs, had 11 touchdowns, which ties the NFL record for a quarterback during one playoff season. And to boot, he had zero interceptions, so didn't turn the ball over. I guess I can't recall if he didn't have a fumble, maybe. But zero interceptions. Fantastic job by Joe Flacco. Really coming on strong and showing that he's come a long way. Took a few years for Joe Flacco. I mean, he's done a good job ever since he came into the NFL as a rookie. It's like he's always done a passable job, but hasn't been an elite quarterback. And I think Ravens fans were worried that he might never reach that level, that he'd never get him to the promised land. Well, that's all in the rearview mirror now. He had a storybook season. And it ends in Super Bowl glory. And congratulations to him, Joe Flacco, to the Ravens in general. Ray Lewis going out on a high note, going to retire a champion. At least that's what he says. Congratulations on a good career to Ray Lewis. I'm still myself skeptical about what he did in terms of perhaps playing a part in the murder of another individual. And I bemoan that and don't, there's been nothing proven, but, circumstances point to Ray Lewis being involved with that. And it's tough for me to look up to a guy like Ray Lewis. But as great as a player as he is, I mean, I can admit that. Maybe not this year he wasn't a great player. But I'll tell you what, the Ravens' defense really stepped up late in the game as a whole, as a unit, to stuff the 49ers offense. I think, did I read that the 49ers offense like got inside the 10-yard line like four times in the second half and didn't get a touchdown? So, I'm not sure exactly how that goes, but the Ravens red zone deep. I mean, the 49ers scored, obviously, yesterday. I mean, they didn't hold them scoreless, but you know, a good red zone defense by the Ravens, they were tough when it counted last night. They were tough when it counted. Kind of that bend but don't break defense. We've talked about that with the Packers so many times, and that was the Ravens last night. They gave up 31 points, which I think is the most points, if I got this right as well. I'm citing all these records and statistics that I should make sure of here, but as I just see them, you know, pop up on my computer screen here, and then I forget about them. But I think the Ravens gave up 31 points last night. Well, I know they gave up 31 points, but it was the most points ever given up by a Super Bowl champion. Yeah, so, I mean, not exactly like the suffocating defense that gave up, you know, like less than two touchdowns or anything like that. But the Ravens getting it done when it counted. Ed Reed getting an interception yesterday, capping off a good career. Not that Ed Reed is officially retiring, although he has considered it. But some, you know, pretty good names there. I love Paul Kruger, by the way, of the Ravens defense. I watched him quite a bit this playoff season, and he really is good. Kind of one of the more underrated players on that Ravens defense. But, man, I love what he brings to the table. And he got a sack, at least one, yesterday. I suppose I could kind of look at these statistics here. I do have the box score up in front of me here. And a guy who could have been, perhaps, Super Bowl MVP yesterday. How about Jacoby Jones with the NFL record tying, and actually ties a Packer, ties Randall Cobb for a 108-yard touchdown return of a kickoff to open the second half. So he does that. Not only that, Jacoby Jones also scores on a 56-yard pass play from Joe Flacco. Not to say that Joe Flacco isn't deserving of the MVP award. I mean, he throws for three touchdowns and over 287 yards, a quarterback rating of 124.2. Joe Flacco getting the job done, doing it well, not turning the ball over, completes 22 of 33 passes. But yeah, the underrated player of the game was Jacoby Jones. You know, he probably doesn't get the attention that his wide receiver teammates do. Jacoby Jones, a little bit in the shadow of guys like Anquan Boldin and Torrey Smith there in Baltimore. And not that those guys did a bad job either. Anquan Boldin, of course, scoring a touchdown, getting over 100 yards last night. Torrey Smith didn't make a big impact in last night's game. But a guy who, you know, is a big name. Jacoby Jones coming up big. Only has the one catch on the whole night, but goes for 56 yards at a touchdown. When you combine that with the NFL record kickoff return, really, I thought he could have been you could have made a case for Jacoby Jones as the Super Bowl MVP. But Joe Flacco deserving as well. So those guys all doing a great job. Dennis Pitta grabbing a TD last night. A good young up-and-coming tight end there. And doing a good job. So, you know, all these things. Congratulations to the Ravens, capping off the 2012 season with the Vince Lombardi Trophy. Of course, Packers fans going to want to point that out, right? The Super Bowl trophy named after the legendary coach of the Green Bay Packers. So they take it home. And a little bit later on, I'll be playing an interview. I never got to this last week, so I'll play it now, and it's only fitting. A former Packer is on the Baltimore Ravens roster. There's a couple of them, actually. Vontae Leach, who I wrote a feature article about this past week at Cheesehead TV. Fullback Vontae Leach, former Packer, who won his first Super Bowl yesterday with the Ravens, now considered one of the best fullbacks in the NFL. He's a three-time Pro Bowler. He would have played in the Pro Bowl this year had the Ravens not made the Super Bowl. Congratulations to him. I mean, he really is, one of the truly the best fullbacks in the NFL. The Packers probably a little bit sad that he's not playing in the green and gold right now. Not that John Kuhn does a bad job, but to have Vontae Leach on the roster would certainly be a bonus, we'll say. But another Green Bay Packer who started his career in Green Bay and now a Raven is cornerback Chris Johnson. I had a chance to talk to him this past week while in New Orleans. It was happened to be on Media Day, and I wanted to share that interview. I'll have a chance to play it here a little bit later, seeing as the Ravens won the Super Bowl. A little bit of a tribute to him. Congratulations to him. Actually, was as part of their inactive list, so Chris Johnson didn't even play or contribute to last night's game. But he is going home with a Super Bowl ring and the first of his career. You'll remember Chris Johnson as a cornerback drafted by the Packers. Oh, my goodness. I'm trying to remember the year it happened. We're talking mid-2000s, so we're talking like 2004, 2005. And since starting his career with the Packers, kind of bounced around from place to place, been a bit of a journeyman, I guess you could consider him, but signed by the Ravens here at midseason and being part of their Super Bowl run when they had some injuries occur, and he was signed to take their place. So we'll talk to him. He talks about the Packers a little bit in his interview, so he is going out with a Super Bowl ring on his finger. But yeah, I mean, I had an absolutely fantastic time representing Cheesehead TV at the Super Bowl last week. I almost feel guilty sometimes about how much fun I had. Not to say that I didn't work. I worked very hard. But I mean, it is something to be a member of the media for the Super Bowl. And you know, I'm certainly not special by any means. As I think I read somewhere, there were over 5,000 credentialed media for the Super Bowl. And I mean, it's weird. I mean, a lot of that media comes from, you know, international. I mean, you just look around and there's, you know, people from Asia sitting next to me. I mean, just, you know, by looks, obviously. And I sit there and I sit in the press conferences and blah, blah, blah from Brazil asking a question here. And holy cow, you just like, wow, these people come from so far to cover the Super Bowl. But obviously one of the world's biggest events. And, but yeah, I mean, it's quite a spectacle. And the NFL does a good job with it, and I had a great time covering the game, I didn't cover the game, but covered the week, the events leading up to the Super Bowl, and really cool. So, boy, how about that blackout yesterday? I mean, that's going to be, I think, kind of how this Super Bowl is remembered. I mean, obviously, I think the Ravens will get their appropriate attention, but that kind of caught everybody off guard, and I'm not sure I ever really understand what happened, what caused the blackout yesterday, and maybe I'm just, you know, too, I don't know enough about energy and resources to understand the lingo. I think I've seen statements put out by the energy provider to the stadium or whatever. And you know, I just don't understand, you know, what the cause is or what that would mean, why it happened. But yeah, so over a half hour delay to yesterday's game. And it was kind of weird because, you know, all of a sudden, all the cameras worked and whatever, but the audio was cut out to the broadcast booth. So here you are, the most watched television show in the entire world, and nobody really knows what's going on because the audio cut out. And so, you know, the guys in the booth, Jim Nantz, Phil Simms, they're not able to give an update. So, you know, they eventually go to commercial and come back, and the sideline reporter, Steve Tasker, comes on and tries to give you an update. And just for, you know, for a half hour, you're kind of almost in the lurch wondering what the heck is going on here. And it just, you know, it ends up being a half hour delay, and, you know, it's, wasn't a big deal by any means, but I mean, it just when it is the most watched game in the world and there's all that downtime, you know, that's going to be remembered and get some attention. But you know, didn't affect the, well, it's arguable whether it affected the Ravens or not. I mean, they allow after that point the 49ers to get back in the game. Ultimately, the Ravens win, though. At least they don't have to look back and point to the blackout for like causing a collapse or anything like that. How about the Super Bowl commercials? I really enjoyed them a lot last night. It's interesting. I thought a lot of the second half commercials were some of the best ones. It's usually the first super, the ones, you know, like immediately after the game starts. Those are usually like the best ones. Those are the ones I think that cost the most because you have the most people watching immediately after kickoff. You know, sometimes in the second half, whatever, people are kind of, you know, turning the channel by then, leaving Super Bowl parties, whatever. So the ones right after kickoff, the first two or three commercial breaks, those are like some of the biggest commercials, some of the biggest production values, whatever. But it was really, to me, the Super Bowl commercials in the second half that I thought were some of the best. And I loved the Montana Stain, the Miracle Stain commercial. And this is terrible. I think it's by Tide, right? I'm not even sure. Tide detergent. But yeah, so it, like the guy gets the accidental stain on his shirt, and it just happens to look like Joe Montana. And as they, you know, it becomes like a shrine to Montana, and like people are coming to worship it. And I thought that was funny. And then the wife or whatever is a Ravens fan and ends up, you know, taking the stain out with with the detergent, and that's a good one. And I also love the Leon Sandcastle commercial, and it was a commercial for the NFL itself, for the NFL Network, as Deion Sanders decides he wants to join the NFL again and goes undercover by the name Leon Sandcastle. And starts training for the NFL draft by competing in the combine, etc. And the whole thing is a commercial for the NFL Network to get people to watch the combine and the NFL draft on NFLN. And that I thought was really ingenious. And you know, to get Deion Sanders involved and the NFL commissioner was part of it. It was really good. A really good spot there. So I thought those were a couple of the better ones. Two that stood out to me, perhaps my favorite two from the Super Bowl. So those were the moments I enjoyed. Beyoncé was good at halftime. What can I say? She's a great performer, a very talented person. She danced her ass off. You could just tell. I mean, she was just sweating by the time the performance was done. going all out, and it was a good performance. So great job by Beyonce. I enjoyed that. Here, I'll get to my interview here with Chris Johnson. It's about 2 minutes long, but just for a guy who used to play with the Green Bay Packers, I think this is a little bit of a tribute to him. He talks a little bit about the Super Bowl later on. I start off by asking him a few Packers questions, seeing as he's played some of his time in Green Bay. So wanted to play this a little bit here as kind of a tribute to him and the Ravens to winning the Super Bowl. So tune in here. This is Chris Johnson, Ravens cornerback, talking about the Packers and the Super Bowl. If I have some audio here. I'm trying to get this. Where are we here? I should be hearing this. For some reason, I am getting no audio. I don't know if anybody out there in Railbird Land can hear that. I personally cannot. Let's see here. I think I know what it is. We'll see if this fixes it now.
Which is where you broke into the NFL. Do you still know any guys there?
Actually, I know Driver. I know A-Rob. I know all the training staff. That's pretty much it that was there when I was there. Everybody else is gone.
How do you think they did this season?
They did good. I actually thought they was going to beat the 49ers until I turned it on and looked at the score. But that's one classic organization. I appreciate the Packers for giving me the opportunity to even break into this league. Edgar Bennett was there, too, when I was there. So he's still there, too. So, I mean, it's just, this league is, a brotherhood. And I'm just grateful that they gave me a shot to actually be able to play.
Is this the highlight of your career?
Well, the highlight will be we win it. Making it is a blessing, but the highlight will actually be if we win it. So it's like, it haven't hit me yet, but if we walk across this field with that confetti on our head, I'll probably break down because, this is, like I said, it's the optimum goal to be able to be called champions. So, hopefully, like I said, the Lord's on our side on Sunday at 6:30 and we pull this thing out.
Could you believe you'd be at this stage like when you were young?
I mean, all kids do. I'm not gonna lie. You win a little Pee Wee League championship, maybe college, but your ultimate goal always you dream to be a Super Bowl champion. I mean, that takes everything compared to college, national championship, high school. I mean, that counts out everything because this is something that in the world. I mean, college and stuff is like basically just in the. But this is the main goal, and like I said, Sunday at 9:13, hopefully they'll be dropping on our head, and we'll be called Super Bowl champion.
Good luck.
I appreciate it.
So that's Chris Johnson, the former Packers player, talking about the Super Bowl, and again, congratulations to him on winning a Super Bowl ring after starting his career with the Packers. The Ravens, great season. I never would have guessed, told you before the season started, I don't think, that the Ravens would be a Super Bowl team, the Super Bowl winner. I wouldn't have predicted them to be. Not to say I didn't think they'd be a good team. I guess I thought from the AFC there'd be better teams like the Patriots, even the Texans I knew were a good up-and-coming team. I kind of thought the Ravens defense was getting old, with Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and stuff like that. But they had enough left in the tank to get the job done and going out on top last night. And now it starts, the season is ending here. The NFL offseason is going to begin shortly. It's not going to be long here, and already at the end of this month, the end of February, we got the NFL Combine coming up. So, this is just weeks away already. So, what is the NFL Combine? Is three weekends away? Something like that? I mean, really, we're ramping up to combine coverage here real quick. It's not even going to take that long. So, yeah, I think it's 3 weekends away. So that's kind of interesting. That you know, very shortly we're going to be talking about the future Packers here, as you know, trying to get these missing pieces that will put this team over the top, trying to find these missing pieces that will get the Packers back to the Super Bowl, having won it now 2 years ago, but bowing out in the playoffs in each of the past 2 seasons. What can they do to get better? We're going to be talking about that and the players they might be able to grab in the NFL draft, because it's not going to take long. I mean, the free agency starts earlier than usual this year. So we're going to be talking NFL Combine. And then if I'm correct, free agency starts sometime in March, whereas it used to start at the beginning of April, if I'm correct, but it's now starting earlier. So, you know, there's going to be more time to talk about free agency. Not that, you know, the Packers are going to be very active in the free agent market. Not to say that they couldn't sign some, you know, kind of more under the radar type guy, something like that. It's possible they could. We will be following along very much about what happens to a guy like Greg Jennings, who's a free agent. See where he happens to end up, seeing where whether perhaps the Packers could, you know, do something like place the franchise tag on him. It's almost hard to see him doing that, but is a possibility, remains a possibility. See if the Packers sign any contract extensions to guys like Aaron Rodgers, Clay Matthews. Those could be coming up. Packers do have some unrestricted free agents coming up that will be, you know, they'll have to place tenders on. We'll be following along with that. I know Sam Shields is the big name, but also as part of that, guys like, I think Brad Jones, Rob Francois, Tom Crabtree, going to see what happens with them, see what kind of tender they receive and what kind of contracts they sign. So all these things coming up now with the Packers. So we'll see what happens with them. And yeah, speaking of Tom Crabtree, too bad missed out on the NFL's Play of the Year. So yeah, I mean, if we're talking Packers news here over the past weekend, you know, been talking about the Super Bowl here, but you know, there was some Packers news on Saturday, and the big news is that Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre appeared together as presenters on the NFL Honors award show. And I'll get back to Tom Crabtree in a second here. I kind of go off on tangents. But yeah, that was the big news over the weekend. On Saturday night, they present an award together. And it was kind of a, as I've heard it been said, cathartic moment for Packers fans. As, you know, Brett Favre has kind of been a little bit viewed by many as kind of a black sheep now, I guess you could say. The guy who wanted out of Green Bay, and so many fans want to see him back with the organization in their good graces. And, you know, I'm not sure I'm ready for that unless maybe Brett Favre would perhaps apologize. I'm not sure he ever would. Or he ever would be proud enough to do something like that. I still think what he did to the Packers organization was absolute baloney. And so one little moment on some award show isn't going to sway my opinion, but I'm just one person. But regardless, I think it was a unique situation that he and Aaron Rodgers, you know, were together on this award show, and you know, they shook hands. Brett Favre said just yesterday that it wasn't awkward when they did that, that they shared a few laughs. So take that for what you will. That was the big moment that happened on Saturday. Packers Lombardi era legend Dave Robinson being named to the NFL Hall of Fame on Saturday. Congratulations to him. Very deserving. A guy who played before my time, but obviously a guy I've heard lots about. You know, just being part of those Super Bowl one and two teams and NFL championship teams before that as a member of the Green Bay Packers under Vince Lombardi. You know, great player, outside linebacker, left outside linebacker, you know, Pro Bowler, All Pro, whatever, very deserving player, made it in as part of the NFL Senior Committee. So, you know, congratulations to him. He'll be inducted into the NFL's Hall of Fame in what is it, early August or late July? I think it's early August, so... You know, that'll be an exciting time when that happens. And hence he'll go up in the Packers, what do they call it, the Ring of Honor there at Lambeau Field. So that'll be cool as well. And you know, a discussion we'll be having in the next few days is, does Donald Driver go up in the NFL's Ring of Honor? Because that's reserved for players who make the NFL's Hall of Fame. But don't really think Donald Driver is NFL Hall of Fame material. I've actually said he might be a candidate to be a like senior committee Hall of Famer, you know, like 30 years from now. But that, you know, people would like to see him up in their Ring of Honor sooner than that. So take that for what you will. We'll save that discussion because there's plenty to talk about Donald Driver too. And you know, since our last episode of Railbird Central, now more than a week ago, that has since happened. I was lucky enough to talk to Donald Driver while in New Orleans. He actually got an exclusive interview the day he announced he was going to retire, and that's happening this upcoming Wednesday. So that's going to be all what Wednesday's show is going to be about, the Donald Driver retirement. And yeah, so a big ordeal there. I mean, that's what's coming up the rest of this week, and we'll be talked about plenty. But wrapping up the Super Bowl yesterday, Ravens win. We're now past 9 a.m. and I'm going to be signing off here. But, you know, thanks everybody so much for joining me here on Railbird Central. Thanks for waiting for me after we took a week off. But glad to be back. We're going to continue our Packers discussion here Monday, Wednesday, Friday, as we're on from 8:30 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central. So tune in every Monday, Wednesday, Friday for the next however long, till the combine at least. We'll be going every day, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So thanks for joining me, folks. We'll be talking about the Packers offseason coming up. So we'll be talking about Donald Driver's retirement. But we'll see you later, everyone. Go Pack Go. I leave you today with a song called Golden Ghost by Lotus on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone.